I think we might have Sean on the line at the moment. Are you there, Sean?
Awesome, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to yourself. And yeah, now we want to talk to you about your befriending service and the week that's in it. And maybe you'll tell us something about it as such.
Yeah, well obviously there seems to be a day and a week for most things, but there actually is a week called Befriending Week. And I suppose we use that as a week to highlight the need people have to maintain positive relationships linked in with the community and how vital that is for older people in maintaining their independence is actually staying linked in and keeping good relationships. So that's what we're doing this week. We're advertising, we're putting it out there, we're trying to encourage older people who may be a little bit isolated or maybe a little bit lonely to ring in, to come forward, take that brave step, and then we will provide befriending to them, link them in to volunteers in their community who will support them both on practical level but also just in that social level of being a friend.
Yeah, well, it seems to us that the befriending service doesn't apply so much to women as it does to men. The women seem to get on well enough together, and they'll be chatting about what the recipe of the week is or whatever. But men tend to be that bit aloof and stand back. And they might have one or two friends.
I think women are much better of maybe in this area identifying that ultimately isolation and loneliness really is a real health issue for older people, and it's really important as people get older, even if they are unwell, to realise that they must keep that social contact. It's linked to your physical health, it's linked to your mental health, and it's linked to your well-being. So ultimately, I think maybe women realise better that the importance of it. But that doesn't mean that the men don't really need to engage. We've around 500 volunteers now befriending every week around the city. And we support huge amounts of men. We actually just, through old age, retirement, losing work colleagues, death of a spouse, it's a gradual thing where people's circles can become smaller. And that ultimately is as we try and keep those relationships strong and make people know that people care about them and the older people in the community are valued.
Yeah, now, how do you go about this? Would you use a telephone or is it a personal call?
No, I think we do a bit of both, but mainly it's personal call. So if you imagine a situation that an older person rings us and says, look, I'm just struggling a little bit because I'm a little bit cut off or I'm not really seeing the amount of people that I'd like to, my family have moved away or I've had bereavement, etc., or I've been unwell. What'll happen is we'll go out, meet the older person, see what they want, how they are. If there's any other issues to support, we'll support them around that, because sometimes people become isolated because of health issues, housing issues, all different types of reasons. We'll help support that. And then what we'll do is we'll have a volunteer. What we'll do is we'll go and we've trained volunteers. What we'll do is get a volunteer to match them and go and start visiting the older person. That could start off being a weekly visit. Sometimes it's bi-weekly. Sometimes the older person needs some support with practical things like bringing them people shopping, all different types of things. But ultimately, it's up to the older person positions what their need is and what they want to get out of it.
Yeah, well, their mobility is a big thing. And, of course, if we just pick a person anonymously and say, Joe, now he used to meet his friends down at the pub every Thursday and they'd have two or three pints, they'd have a yap, and then they'd go home and watch TV. But one or two of his friends are gone and he's not that mobile and it's bucketing down rain, so he just sits at home and watches the TV, and that gets to be a habit as such. And this is where your service could come in very gradually into it, and how are you, Joe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly, and I think that's exactly what it is. It is linking in with the Joes of this world and making sure that the support is there, making sure that they don't feel the community has forgotten about them. I mean, we all know everything's pushed online. We all know some of the things that used to be people used to see or be in the community are gone. And that ultimately is that no matter what people stage of life, that they can still participate in the community, and they still know that the community cares and supports them.
Yeah, and of course, family could be away now with the way things are at the moment, and the family could be very mobile. Joe's job could be in Belgium, and the niece's job could be somewhere else, and they're just not able to make that contact on the regular basis that may have happened in years gone by, but that is gone as such. And, you know, it's very, once you make contact with people and, you know, easy. How are you, Joe, today, etc. And what do you think of the news? And Joe will start out, well, I don't bloody lust this, that, the other. At least that's an in for a conversation. And that's
absolutely is. And I think, you know, all the science is that we need those simple conversations. All the science is, no matter whether you're ill, doesn't matter if you're older, doesn't matter even if, you know, you have some struggles, your house is, you know, housing problems, we all need those interactions. And because there's less people in the community, because families are moving away, because people have smaller families and people are living longer, some people need this. Lots of older people don't. But around 1 in 10 older people suffer and struggle with loneliness. And it's a painful thing. Yeah. You know, you can get tablets for your heart to, you know what I mean, and take them, and you go and see your GP, and you can be on them. And that's that, like, in some ways, dealt with.
I'd just like to make a point there as regarding, is there any system, with regards to local medical positions of most older people have a problem of some sort, you know? And is there no follow-up, from doctors or nursing or hospital
visits? I think the health, in fairness to the hospitals and in fairness to the doctors, their primary function is around your acute health care.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but I'm just thinking, is there no liaison between the likes of yourselves and the medical position?
Oh, we do. Yeah. I mean, most of the people who are referred to us come via the medical agencies. You know,
yeah.
People generally, if they're struggling, it's the likes of the GP that'll spot it. It's likes of the local primary healthcare nurse or the home help that'll spot it, because they'll realise this person's coming in to see them. But ultimately, they know from talking to the person that maybe they're the only person they see that week or that day. And that's, you know, so that's where the referrals come from.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for more referrals. But we're also trying to tell older people, look, this is something you need to be wary of, making sure that as you get old, we all know our social circles get smaller. And it's something you've got to really protect and make sure to stay linked in, because it's part of your health and well-being.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of looking for the medicals to understand how serious it is, and also at the same time trying to make older people themselves know it's important to them.
Now, I do remember, because when I was in hospital myself there a while ago, it's about a year or more ago now, but there was a follow-up service. People, a nurse did call a couple of times, and just to check up, was I okay? Was my medication okay and stuff like that? But as soon as they were gone forever. Like, there was no other...
And I think that's the thing. As soon as your medical issue had passed,
yes,
right, then ultimately they're all in. But people are so much more than the medical, and that's really the whole point of befriending.
Yeah, yeah.
People need more than medicine, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be healthy and to be well. They need access to transport, they
yeah.
need access, you know, to company, they need access to information when they need it, do you know what I mean? Maybe
yeah.
to do certain things. So that's really what we're all about, is maybe
yeah.
addressing those needs that the healthcare system can't and probably never will address.
But I do remember thinking myself at the time, I wasn't thinking of your particular organisation
yeah, yeah.
alone, even though I knew about it, but if I'd have been living on my own, I probably would have been lost for a while for contacts on the outside world, because I wasn't able to drive, I wasn't able to get out for a while. But I wasn't I wasn't genuinely medically sick, you know what I mean? And I remember thinking it was a great pity that they didn't leave some sort of just a piece of paper or a card and say, well, look, you could ring alone or some organisation that you could, you know, just to keep in touch with anything you might need. You know, a little bit of interconnection there, you know. I know what you're saying, that it was up to the people to ring. A lot of older people are very shy, sort of, you know, they're not really very far. I mean, the kids today are very assertive. They want this and they want that, and they, you know. But in our generation, we're inclined to be a little bit more easier, you know, take it. Don't assert yourself too much because people would look down at you're only a troublemaker or something. So it's harder for our generation to be searching around.
I think you are, and that's why I think you're right. And I think that's why, I suppose, as we talk about these subjects, you realise that for some of your listeners, if they're feeling that way, we're trying to give them the confidence to reach out. If there's medical people listening, we're trying to tell them how important this is to refer people and that people need this, as you very well pointed out, more than just the medical attention they need. And then to families and friends who might be listening, to consider older people and consider, like, as a relative or a neighbour, you know, do they engage with them and do they include them, and, you know, to realise that these things are important. So I think it's about hitting everybody to understand how important these things are.
Mm-hmm. Now, and of course, on the periphery of this now, there's also other types of things which you might refer people to. There's the men's shed, for instance, which is a phenomenon that started in Australia. For the very same reason that it's more isolated than they would be here. And they met in the shed and they'd be yapping and talking and maybe repairing something. Somebody would be an electrician or retired plumber or carpenter or whatever. And they interacted with one another, and that sort of grew. And in Ireland now, it's a growing thing. And I know DCC... or the city council as such are putting together plans for this type of thing. Now that's only one, and you have all sorts of other referrals that they could be all come into the one basket, let's put it that way. And the befriending service would be able to refer them to this or refer them to that or refer them to something else. It could be a reading class or drama, or it could be anything. And how many people have you got operating the offending service?
We've around 500 volunteers involved, so we've a good cohort of people.
Yeah.
And that we then also, we tend to take in another around 50 volunteers every quarter. So we add around 150, 200 a year, depending on the year and depending on our capacity.
Yeah, and as such, and these are all volunteers, I take it, as such.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Backed up now, obviously, we've got staff as well. No, we've staff as well, but staff sort of deal with more complex issues, and because we also provide housing to homeless older people.
Well, that would be the admin as such, yeah.
Exactly. So we've a couple of different arms to what we do, but all of this is all voluntary run.
Yeah, and 500 volunteers as such, you know, how many people would they sort of befriend? Would it be one a week or one a fortnight?
Yeah, people generally... When you add it all up, it's probably around 700 at any one time. But basically, people generally visit one person. But then, because ultimately it's a very one-to-one thing, and also because of time management, you know, your situation, if you were seeing somebody once or twice a week or you're doing certain practical supports for them, you couldn't really be doing three or four people. Do you know what I mean? Especially an awful lot of volunteers, which is great, are younger. And a lot of them are working, and they decide that this is important, and they understand that it's important, and they want to help older people in their community.
Yeah, but the phone is a great instrument for that. If you can't go down to Joe's house, you ring him up, how are you, Joe, etc., etc., etc. How are you doing today? Do you need anything? This type of thing. A 10-minute chat can do work wonders as such. You don't... to meet the person in person is the best thing, we know that, but that's not always available, not always pertinent as such, because the volunteer has other bits and pieces to do with his own life as well. But it does it seem to be working on a good scale, or is it what would you give it numbers, 1 out of 10?
I think ultimately is I think a bit like a lot of things, People are realising loneliness is a health issue now. Yeah, it's coming to the stage that we're starting to get people understand what the issue is. So ultimately, people care about it more. So ultimately, and I think, as you say, the more we can get the message out, the more we can put it out like this morning, people realise how important it is for them, how important it is for the community, how important it is for their relatives, older relatives. That the more we do that, the more basically we can break down the stigma, because it's a big thing, as you say, to ring up and say, oh, I'm lonely or I'm struggling or I'm nobody. But ultimately, we need people to do it, because we need to help and support those.
Yeah, well, of course, every journey starts with the first step.
That's it. And
if people want to join as such, have you some sort of a vetting service, or is there as a beginner?
Yeah, anybody who volunteers for us, there's an interview, a training program, and everything else, because ultimately they're visiting, in a lot of cases, they're visiting older people who maybe are on their own, or, you know, might be a little bit more vulnerable, maybe because they've been ill, etc., etc. So they also need to know how to deal with that. They're working one-to-one with people. So there's Garda vetting, there's training, there's an interview, because it's a big commitment to take on, to visit somebody, to support them, and everything else. So some people decide that the commitment is too much, and they say, well, not for me, and we appreciate and respect that. And for others, what we find is if they start supporting an older person, once the relationship builds, you find they'll stay with that person through thick and thin, and they stay with the people for a long time and on a long journey, that, as it can be.
And does it apply to both genders?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
We support men
and women, and ultimately is our volunteers are a great mixture of men and women and a great mixture of ages. Some of the volunteers are older than the people they go and visit. Sometimes old age is only numeric. It's more about your capacities, how you're feeling, how you are. So in some cases, which is great, then we have people visiting people their own age, and that's really good, because they probably understand what people are going through.
Yeah, well, they would, if they're approximately their own age, they would have a more or less, well, very broad experience, same schooling, etc., etc., etc.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And to be able to tap in maybe a little bit easier, you know?
Yes, exactly. Do you remember
whatever, this, that, or the other in 1950, and, oh, yeah, so it was only around the road, this type of thing, you know?
And, that's it.
Yeah, and that's it.
Now, but there are wonderful friendships established here between people of same age, other ages, and ultimately they're wonderful friendships, and it's a really positive thing, and where we're always talking about things we can't do something about, this is something we can do something about. So we celebrate that, and it's something the community can do something about.
So now if somebody wants to get in contact with you, you're the same number as we got, 086-385-2388.
If the landline is 01679-1032. That's
679-1032. Yeah. And we give out that number. So we're running past this again.
01679-1032.
Yeah. And we give that out.
And that's for older people, it's for friends, it's for family, anybody that's concerned about, or it's for people who want to volunteer.
To befriend other people in their own home, or maybe somebody that might be in a nursing home or whatever.
That's what happens.
And thank you very much, Sean, for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be back to you again at some stage.